If World War III kicks off, the first thing you lose is communication. I use my ex-military training to build a personal communications plan that works even if cell towers fail, power goes out, or networks are quietly disrupted. In this video, you'll learn exactly how modern communications break, the low-cost mesh system you can run yourself when they do, and how to keep your messages private while coordinating with people you trust. Hi nerds, welcome back. I'm Addie, and I've spent 15 years in cybersecurity, 8 of those in the US Air Force, and I break down threats before they blindside you. Today, we're diving into how to stay reachable and coordinate amongst your family when the unthinkable happens. Let's get into it. The world keeps reminding us stability isn't guaranteed. The moment you realize normal is rented, it changes how you see the world. On January 3rd, 2026, Nicolas Maduro was captured in a US operation. Caracas went dark during the overnight raid. AP described the U.S. as plunging the capital into darkness. And Trump said
the city's lights were largely turned off.
Right as the operation unfolded. Overnight, the region felt electrically tense, like everyone's waiting for the next shoe to drop. Here's what people miss in moments like that. Power and communications infrastructure are part of the playbook in modern operations, because knocking them off balance slows coordination. And once that wobble starts, communications fail in boring, practical ways that ruin your ability to coordinate, check in, or even confirm someone's okay. During geopolitical shocks, comms infrastructure gets strained, disrupted, and sometimes targeted because it's a force multiplier. If you can't talk, you can't organize. This is real for me because I live somewhere that's being threatened with airstrikes. They haven't happened, and I really hope they never do, but still, living with that possibility forces a specific kind of planning that assumes we might have to make difficult decisions without reliable cell service. And it extends past war or politics. My home state of North Carolina saw this firsthand during Hurricane Helene. Land and mudslides caused towers to go down, cellular networks got hammered, villages were washed away, and even responder communications took hits while teams worked to restore coverage. Families weren't being dramatic when they said they felt cut off from the rest of the world. They were describing a real infrastructure failure that happened in real time. All of this is a reminder that responsible people adapt before they're forced to improvise. So if the world keeps proving that stability comes and goes, what exactly breaks first in modern communications when things get messy? Modern communications break in predictable ways, and cyber war accelerates that. The problem is the fact that your phone sits at the end of a chain that snaps in the same places every time. Cell service needs 3 things: power to the tower, a working path back to the carrier's core network, and enough capacity to handle a surge. Lose power and towers run on batteries and generators until fuel, maintenance, or access runs out. Lose backhaul and the tower can be standing there while your phone quietly fails. Hit congestion and texts start arriving late, calls don't complete, and everything feels kind of working right up until it doesn't. Cyber war speeds all of that up because attackers don't have to blow up anything to get the same effect. They can hit the grid to shorten every backup clock all at once. They can hit routing and backbone gear to create partial outages, then waste time and confuse people. They can also let demand do the damage by pushing the network into overload. CISA's point is simple. Communications depend on energy and information technology. When either one degrades, the communications degrade with it. Now at the part that should scare Americans into having a backup plan. China-linked hackers penetrated US telecom networks in the campaign that officials call Salt Typhoon, and officials have said some carriers still haven't fully removed them. In a cyber war, they're still in there means the option to throttle service, selectively drop traffic, or bring down communications in specific places at specific times entirely without touching a tower. So what's the low-cost backup you can run yourself when towers are stressed and the networks can be degraded from the inside? Meshtastic. The simple, low-cost resilience tool anyone can use. Here's the part that surprised me. The backup that actually works is small enough to lose in your junk drawer. By the way, this is not an ad. Meshtastic is a messaging system that runs on little LoRa radios, doesn't care if the cellular network is overloaded or the internet is down, and it doesn't need a tower to bless your message before it moves. You and the people you care about bring the network with you. LoRa stands for long range, low power, and it earns the name. The trade-off is speed, so you're not sending memes or videos, you're sending the kind of short messages that keep people coordinated. Where you are, where you're going, whether you're okay, and what you need. That's the point. The mesh part is what makes it feel unfairly powerful for how affordable it is. Every node can pass messages along. One device covers your immediate area, two devices start to stretch that area, and a handful in a neighborhood turns into a network that keeps working even when one node goes offline. More people participating makes everyone's coverage better. Security-wise, Meshtastic encrypts message payloads with AES-256, so the content of what you send stays private inside your group. That matters because the whole goal is coordination. Hardware is the other reason I like this. It's accessible. Plenty of devices cost less than a fancy dinner, like this one, and they run for ages on tiny batteries. Some models have a screen and keyboard, which means you can send messages without touching your phone at all. Others depend on your phone as the keyboard through Bluetooth. If you use those, you treat phone power like it's part of your communications budget. A compact hand crank charger is the boring tool that keeps your plan functional. So when you tap send on a Meshtastic message, what actually happens as it travels across a neighborhood? LoRa uses a modulation style that trades speed for resilience. The radio spends longer on each message, and that extra time makes the transmission harder to lose in messy conditions. You feel it as latency. You gain it back as reliability when coverage gets weird. The mesh part is multi-hop. Your message leaves your device, hits the next node that can hear it, and that node repeats it onward. The network does routing in a simple, practical way. It moves messages across whichever path exists at the moment, up to the point where there are no nodes left to carry it. If a relay node dies, another route can take over where there's enough density. Most Meshtastic devices run on ESP32 based boards like this one. They're cheap, power efficient, and easy to find, which means you can build a kit without begging a vendor ecosystem for permission. You pair a radio with an antenna that fits your environment, and physics does the rest. Range depends on terrain, elevation, and antenna quality. Flat open areas stretch farther. Dense cities and hills cut range down. For example, in a dense city environment, you might expect a few hundred meters to 1 to 2 kilometers, but more nodes will stretch this. In flat, open terrain, this can often reach 5 to 10 kilometers. With high elevation relays or clear line of sight, ranges can sometimes exceed 50 kilometers. A relay placed high up changes everything. You learned fast that radios are less tech and more geography plus common sense. Okay, now that you know how messages move, what does a real communications plan look like when you're building it for two people who need it to work under stress? Your personal comms plan, a real example of applied security. The first time you try to coordinate under stress, you find out fast whether your plan is real or just a comforting story. Where I live, airstrikes are actually a threat, and that's enough to change what prepared means. So I built a simple comms plan that we can run on autopilot. We pick 2 daily check-in windows, plus a rule for what to do if only one person makes it. Wait a fixed amount of time, then switch to the next step without negotiating by text. We chose rally points that make sense in our actual geography, including one that's boring and nearby, and one that's farther but safer if movement gets messy. We also pre-wrote message templates that fit inside a tiny LoRa message, like safe, moving, need help, meet here, plus a short location tag. If your brain blanks when the adrenaline hits, templates will keep you functional. Power is a quiet failure mode, so we charge our batteries on a schedule, keep a home relay node up, and carry 2 mobile nodes. If a device depends on the phone for typing, the phone stays in low power mode and only comes on for check-ins. A crank charger and a solar power bank cover the ugly edge cases. We practice with phones off because rehearsal is the whole point. Once your plan actually works, the next question gets sharper. Who can see your messages while you're moving them through a mesh? Privacy without paranoia. Keeping messages yours. The easiest way to accidentally broadcast your life is assuming Meshtastic is private by default. Meshtastic encrypts the payload of each message with AES-256, and it does per channel. The network can still relay packets it can't read because the header stays unencrypted, which is how the mesh keeps moving even when not every node is in your group. That also means that there's always some metadata hanging around, like timing and hops, so you need to plan with that in mind instead of pretending it's invisible. Here's the practical part that most people skip. You only get real privacy when you're using a channel key that isn't the widely known default. If you're still on the default primary channel, you're basically using a shared room. To lock it down, go into Channels, create or edit your channel, and set the PSK to a random 32-byte key, like AES256. Then share that channel with your people using a QR code or channel link, and have them import it by scanning or pasting. Keep that QR or link out of public chats, and only scan configs from people you trust. For sensitive situations, I like plain codebooks that reduce detail, like having one that has plan A or plan B or a small set of agreed status words that you can communicate without oversharing location or intent. Once you've got a channel that's actually private, the bigger question becomes strategy. What other tools and community layers do you stack with it so one failure doesn't take everything down? Building the future, alternatives, communities, and layered resilience. The real upgrade is realizing you can stack networks the same way you stack backups. Meshtastic is my favorite entry point because it's cheap and social, but it doesn't have to be the only layer. Reticulum can stretch mesh ideas onto broader, more flexible networks when you want something that behaves more like an internet that you can actually shape. LoRaWAN can make sense when there's existing infrastructure and you want wider coverage with gateways, especially for sensors and status updates. Wi-Fi mesh is great for high-speed local hubs, the kind you'd use at a community center or a neighborhood meet here spot. Ham digital modes sit in their own lane with real capacity and real rules. If someone in your group is licensed and enjoys the discipline, it can add range and options without turning everyone into a radio hobbyist overnight. Satellite messages are a useful supplement when you can afford them, but I treat them as a backup to the backup, not a single point of comfort. The best part is the human part. A neighborhood mesh gets stronger as more people join, and it stays alive because it belongs to the people using it. If you were going to build this for real, who are the first three people you'd want in your mesh, and what check-in plan would you trust them to follow? That answer is the beginning of your resilience plan. If you liked learning about Meshtastic, you'll definitely need to learn about what Palantir is doing. I'll see you in that video next.